This is CBC Radio 1, 99.1 in Toronto.
Hello again. I'm Mary Lou Finley.
And I'm Barbara Budd. This is As It Happens, Part 2. Who could turn down a couple of furry, cuddly, giant pandas? Especially if they're free. Taiwan could, especially if the animals are coming from China. The Chinese government has traditionally used pandas as diplomatic tools. In 1972, Chairman Mao gave two of the pseudo-bears to U.S. President Richard Nixon after his historic visit. But this week's offer to Taiwan, which followed a trip to the mainland by the island's opposition leader, looks like a Trojan horse to the ruling party. Charles Burton is a professor of political science at Brock University in St. Catharines, Ontario, but we reached him in Ottawa.
Is China intent on offering these pandas to Taiwan?
Well, you know, they're a furry, friendly creature and would engender good feelings in all who see them. And of course, the pandas are native to the province of Sichuan in China, which means that they're clearly identified with the Chinese mainland. And so I guess from China's point of view, they're hoping that people will look at those pandas, have good feelings towards them, and reaffirm their identity as Chinese, living in a Chinese province called Taiwan, and not as Taiwanese people who are living in what could become the Republic of Taiwan if the current president had his way.
Right. And this is all in the context of the visit of the opposition leader to China, to Beijing, and the Chinese government's recent passage of a law?
Yes. I mean,
reaffirming its ownership?
As China becomes more powerful, they would like to resolve what they regard as leftover issues of history. And from their point of view, one of the issues would be the status of Taiwan, which is de facto an independent entity, although Canada and most of the other members of the UN regard the question of sovereignty of Taiwan as one that belongs to Beijing. In other words, we only recognize one China and Taiwan as a part of it. That was part of the deal that we agreed to when we recognized China in 1970. And so this the pandas thing is part of an ongoing strategy, I guess, as China becomes more assertive in the region and seeks to reduce U.S. influence.
Well, there's a stick as well as a carrot, though, isn't there?
Well, I guess so. I mean,
brandished here?
Yes, yeah, there is. The idea is that if the Republican movement in Taiwan continues, that there's a possibility that China will invade. And the question now is, if seeing as Taiwan is 1/60th the population of the mainland China, and because China is very important to the U.S., would the U.S. be willing to let China take back Taiwan, or would it cause a military conflict between China involving the U.S. and Japan if China sought to do so without the agreement of the Taiwan authorities?
It's a tinderbox.
It's a potentially very, very dangerous situation. But I think that the general trend is that China is simply trying to make its political influence in the region commensurate with its economic influence. The problem is that there are people in Taiwan who believe that Taiwan was never a part of China, that it was only a protectorate of China for a short period of its history, and they don't see themselves as Chinese but as Taiwanese. So it's an ethnic identity conflict, which is a very dangerous kind of conflict. In other words, they're not necessarily going to readily go for this idea of becoming a part of China.
Well, in addition to that, you have the fact that they have more democracy in Taiwan than there is in China.
Oh, yes, and it's much wealthier, too.
So has the government of Taiwan been outmaneuvered here?
Well, I guess
the Chinese, to some extent?
Well, the people who have been to China, the opposition leaders, the president of Taiwan has invited the Chinese president to visit Taiwan, but he won't go until the party that the president of Taiwan, President Chen Shui-bian, represents, repudiates the clause in their party constitution that says that their political aim is to make Taiwan into an independent republic. And so the pandas question is, are these pandas being given by China to a sovereign nation as a gesture of good faith, or are these pandas being transferred between two provinces? And so I guess the symbolism of the pandas is, are these international pandas or are these domestic pandas?
So as far as Taiwan is concerned, it's an international gift.
Yes, they would like to say so. Canada's always wanted those pandas. Trudeau went in 72. We gave the Chinese two beavers, hoping to get a couple of pandas. But pandas are in short supply, and only certain countries like the United States and, you know, important relations are deemed suitable for pandas. I think we got some kind of deer with a big horn.
Two beavers. But any case, as long as they can't agree on whether it's a gift, an international gift or a domestic gift, the pandas presumably aren't going anywhere.
I would suspect that the Taiwanese authorities will refuse to accept the pandas, and a lot of Taiwanese children will be very sorry they won't get to see those cuddly, furry little guys.
Yeah. What's the next step, then, in this drama?
You know, the Chinese are trying to create divisions in Taiwanese society and isolate the current president, and I should think that, you know, as relations play out in the region as a complex chessboard, you know, North Korea is involved. If China cooperates with the U.S. to neutralize the nuclear threat in North Korea, would the U.S. then make concessions on Taiwan? You know, it's that kind of game that's being played.
Would they?
I think they might, simply out of realism. In recent times, after China passed that law where they said that they would have the right to engage in military force against Taiwan if Taiwan moved towards independence, the United States and Japan got together and completed a treaty where they committed themselves to the defense of the sovereignty of Taiwan. And so, you know, the forces are mounting. But in the final analysis, is it in the U.S. national interest to become involved in a horrendous ethnic conflict between people who have a different notion of what nation should be controlling this
but
little island?
There you are. The Taiwanese are not going to just sit back and allow themselves to be taken over.
No.
Are they? There would be a huge war.
Well, right now, China's got 700 missiles pointing at Taiwan, and they're increasing them every year.
And Taiwan has been armed by the Americans and maybe others?
Oh, yes, so they have a terrific amount of force, and it is an island which gives them a strategic advantage in terms of their defense. And I think that the nationalist, the KMT opposition leader, Mr. Lien Jian, his main engagement with the Chinese government was not about how we should move towards reunification, but how we should maintain the status quo in peace.
Why is it China, why is vast China so interested in this tiny little place?
Well, you know, they believe it's their sovereign territory, the way they believe that Tibet is their sovereign territory and Xinjiang is their sovereign territory and Inner Mongolia is their sovereign territory, and they certainly don't want to concede that these places would prefer to be independent.
But they
don't
do.
Believe
so.
Well, I think that, you know, if you ask the average Mongolian, would you like to be part of the People's Republic of China, or would you like to be your own ethnicity ruling your own people, they would say we would prefer our own people to be ruling our own nation and have our own nation state. And Taiwan is probably the same.
But Taiwan de facto is separate and has been ruling itself. It's not the same as those other places.
And
so
it's very
why
successful.
Is China willing to perhaps go to war, risk alienating the entire world for this little piece of territory? Why is it so important?
Well, I agree. It's irrational, but it's about their national identity, and their China includes Taiwan. And so despite the enormous costs to their economy and the potential for enormous loss of life, I think it's unlikely that China would simply, you know, say, well, they've been independent for a long time. They don't want to be part of China, so let us accept that and, you know, wish them well. That's not in the cards.
Professor Burton, thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Charles Burton is a professor of political science at Brock University in St. Catharines, but today he's in Ottawa.